This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hello there, welcome. Thanks for joining us. This is the Territory Story Podcast. It's the News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. Hope you're having a great week. Let's get to the NT Independent online newspaper now and have a chat with the editor, Mr. Chris Walsh. Walshy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to see you again.
It's very good to see you. I know you are in the midst of a lot of things, including question time and things happening in Parliament. Let's quickly get to some stories making news this week. Mate, what is the Labor Party thinking?
In what sense?
I mean, we had a minister, no less a chief minister, fall on her sword just before Christmas over, look, it may not have been dodgy, but the appearance was terrible. The perception was shocking. We've now got the deputy chief minister, aka the attorney general, who's also acquired and disposed of shares at really questionable times.
Yeah, Pete, that's right. And I think it's just the culture of this Labor government. And like I was saying before, I think it kind of started with Gunner and his people and thinking that that they can do whatever they want, basically. And here we are now, where we're finding more stuff and things are starting to happen. People are resigning and, everything's catching up to them finally here. And last week I was down and I had a look at the Register of Members' Interests. This is where the MLAs disclose their shares. And saw some interesting stuff there, including that we'll get into a lot of detail about it, but the Chancey Paik had these shares in a company called Metcash. And what I had noticed from that was that he divested those shares 2 days after Files resigned. And it was clear that he thought that was inappropriate to hold those shares. So anyway, we went and checked it out. And of course, Metcash is this, large liquor wholesaling company that, that provides alcohol to a lot of places, including local IGAs, Thirsty Camel, Celebrations, Bottle-O. And a lot of those happen to be in Alice Springs as well. Now, that was the timing of what you were saying. That we had to look back into when he obtained them. Now, he obtained them, he listed it May 19th, 2022. On July 17th or thereabouts, the remote bans in remote communities on alcohol are lifted, right? So 2 months after he buys these shares, and then the bans are lifted, nothing's put in place. The NT government had a responsibility to do things at the time, and instead they let the Stronger Futures legislation lapse. And as they said at the time, the rivers of grog flew into the communities, and there was carnage and damage, and domestic violence cases went up. Hospital emergency admissions went way up. It necessitated the Prime Minister to fly to Alice to have discussions. And then eventually from that came the reinstatement of alcohol bans in remote communities. But all the while, the question is now, what was Chancey Paik doing? I mean, he was in the cabinet room. He was involved in these decisions. He was the one leading it outside in the public saying, this is racist policy and we've got to lift these bans. Meanwhile, the guy's a shareholder in a grog distributor. It was very unusual and clearly a conflict of interest, right? The Ministerial Code of Conduct states, and that was the difference between him and Foss. So the Ministerial Code of Conduct states that a minister must divest shares that may lead to a conflict of interest with their portfolio responsibilities. Now, Files had these shares and she had inherited them and she had them for years. What Chancey Paik did was, as a minister, he went out and bought shares. He thought that, I guess, if the cabinet handbook said you should invest in shares in companies that will have a direct conflict of interest with your responsibilities. Like, I don't understand the stupidity about that. And we tried to get that from him in a press conference this week. And he didn't have an answer. He was all over the place. And then today he's on Mix and he says, I spoke to my accountants and my financial specialists and they said I should diversify my portfolio.
That's weird. And they're advising my ministerial issues, are they?
It's just so strange. And so it's 400. He's saying it's $435 or something. And again, we don't understand why he would do this, but he's done it and he's created this conflict of interest for himself. Now, he was town camps minister when he bought that remote housing and town camps. He also then, within days and held them for 19 months, became Aboriginal Affairs Minister and Attorney General. And, you know, at no time did he make any efforts that we can see. I mean, he had this no efforts to divest that, even though he was in breach of the ministerial code of conduct, which said he shouldn't have those. But those are three instances where that would be a conflict of interest. So the latest here now today is on Wednesday that the opposition. So what happened was Lawler was asked about it. We were at a press conference. She finally admitted that Chansey actually hadn't declared that, or that she didn't recall him declaring it in cabinet meetings when they discussed what would happen and how the government would handle the Stronger Futures legislation. So that is problematic. And you can read all about that stuff on our site. And so today now then went back to Chansey Paikin, and he said, the minister has her memory of things. I have my memory of things. It was a couple years ago. But he would never say, he failed to say if he disclosed that in cabinet to cabinet colleagues that he had a conflict of interest. And so now today the opposition calling for the chief minister to release the minutes of cabinet meetings that would show whether or not he declared.
Exactly. Yeah. That sounded Trumpian in essence.
Yeah. And now look, and the other part of that is would show if he, and I think we already know the answer to this, right? Like, it doesn't even matter if he disclosed it. He still took part in those conversations.
Correct.
And the ICAC has put something, we'll get into that on the weekend more. He's put out a statement today, a very long-winded statement, but suggesting that, you know, it's fine to declare it on a register of members' interest, but you need to manage the conflict. And it appears here that Chansey Paik did not manage that. Calls for his resignation, you know, from all over the place. This is making national news now. The story that we broke first, and now everybody else has been covering it, and that's good to see, because these are fundamental issues that go to the heart of our democracy and how this is going. And the calls for his resignation are mounting now. I think Jacinta Price said it was a sickening betrayal. The Indigenous people were hurting when those bans were lifted, and he appears to have done it to make a small profit off of it. It's just so stupid, but it's the principle is so big. Even if that money isn't a lot, like the opposition said, the principle is big. Yeah, and the integrity experts have said that too this week. So we'll see if he hangs on. I think by the weekend we're going to be talking a lot more, and then we'll get into more details, but also what's kind of transpired here.
Yep, it's the principle and it's the perception. And I'm just giving you my opinion. I'm not saying this is fact. I guess it'll all play out in the fullness of time. But if you didn't do something, and if you did do all the declarations you were meant to, you wouldn't be using the same verbiage that he's apparently using, publicly at the moment. So let's see how it plays out, Chris.
Yeah, he's being tricky for sure. We'll talk about it soon on the weekend. Mm.
Another controversy in Parliament this week, Chris, as a new Speaker is elected, not without opposition, I have to say.
He appeared drunk, Pete. And that's all we need to know. This is Mr. D. Ran Young. Taxpayers would know as the guy who charged him for his personal holiday. So look, after this reshuffle, when Files resigned and they put in a new cabinet, they need a speaker. And he was the one up. They put him up. The CLP put up Joe Hersey. And then the fight broke out, and a lot of grievances being aired over the selection here and his personal characteristics, and really his character and what goes to why he wouldn't be suitable to be the speaker. And, you know, part of that was one for threatening a sitting MLA. That was one that the CLP brought up, and that involved when D. Ran Young was an advisor for Selena Yubo, and he threatened Josh Burgoyne one night at Parliament House in February, and Yubo said, oh, he doesn't reflect the values of our team. And then a couple months later, he's selected as the candidate for Daly for Labour. Just typical Labour. I mean, my God. Anyway, Yeah, so they brought that up. It was basically an onslaught, as we said, where they're talking about his bad behavior. You know, CLP saying he's being promoted by the Labour government for his bad behavior. Talked about that one and then said he was forced to apologize to Burgoyne anyway. Steve Edgington said, this doesn't sound like the behavior that would be fitting for someone to hold the office of Speaker. The person who knowingly broke the standards expected by those in this place is now being nominated as the person tasked with upholding those standards. He said, but his disrespect for the office doesn't stop there in terms of the threat to Burgoyne. He said, of course, we cannot forget the fuel card scandal. And yeah, we all know that very well. And the $2,600 he charged to go to New South Wales for Christmas on his fuel card, which we still haven't got back, even when the Remuneration Tribunal said that it wasn't appropriate. But because the former speaker had let him get away with it, there doesn't appear to be a lot to do. But you would think that he would do the right thing and say, well, the independent tribunal found that it wasn't appropriate, so I'll hand back
the
money.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that now. I used to expect that, but I no longer expect they'll do the right thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was it. And CLP saying he never repaid it, no apologies either. He said this is the level, Steve Edgington said, this is the level of disregard Labour's nominee for Speaker has for Territorians, for standards for ethical behavior, and for the integrity of this place. However, yes, he was then, Labour used their numbers and elected him Speaker 15-10 against Joe Hersey. So he will now see his taxpayer-funded pay packet raised significantly, taking home $275,000 as Speaker.
There might be a few extra bucks in there to pay back that fuel that was used a couple of years ago.
Better be. But yeah, I want to tell you another kind of funny story of what happened around there, but we'll do that on the weekend here because it was kind of funny how that went down, and funny in a sad way, but we've got to keep our sense of humor, yeah, or this do. Place will get us.
Yeah. All right. I look forward to hearing that. And Chris, just lastly, a man who is never far away from the headlines, the Barkly mayor, is in the news again.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. Jeffrey McLaughlin, still being investigated by police, so they haven't made any progress on this case. I think they got three more detectives working on it now. You know, this is more than 5 months after this happened, where he was filmed sitting on the child during a claimed citizen's arrest, where another man was threatening the child and put his boot in his head. And anyway, that guy was charged after the video surfaced that we broke. And then the police said they were investigating McLaughlin. It seems that has stalled for some reason. They won't even say when they started investigating, but we know they are. They say it's continuing. Now, meanwhile, McLaughlin had called ABC or something and told them that he had to move interstate for the safety of his family. He said, my family's received threats since the footage was made public last year. And then he's saying he's taking this time now. And of course, remember, he doesn't have a job or a gig, as he would call it. I don't know what. But, you know, so he's interstate, and he says that his all of his time will be spent on the local government investigation that's going on. He said, I have no other obligation at this time. I'll be back in Tennant Creek once the investigation is over. He had to leave his crop there. Remember, he left the crop in Tennant. So he says, but I intend to clear my name through the investigation. However, yeah, Woody reported this before, that the lawyer appointed to investigate the council told a former employee that she's been excluded from examining code of conduct complaints against elected members, including the mayor, the chief executive, and other staff, despite all those serious allegations that have come up. So hard to see how he's going to clear his name through this local government investigation. And meanwhile, he's got more charges, and we know that he's still up on the driving under the influence of cannabis stuff. He's got a lot of things going for him. And I think he's playing like shows around here, though. He said he was interstate, but I think we saw something where he was singing and doing something in Darwin recently. Okay. So, but he's going to spend time just doing stuff.
Maybe he classifies that as interstate from the Barkly regional council area.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, look, I don't know how he thinks he's going to be exonerated for everything, and that they're going to, the townspeople will come and carry him on their shoulders through the town square, cheering mm-hmm. him on. I don't think it's going to go down quite the way he imagines. We'll just wait and see, because the police, yeah, they haven't said they've closed it, which they could have done. So it appears that perhaps there may be charges still coming on that as well. So.
Oh, well, we'll wait with bated breath for that to happen, Chris. And I'll let you go and get back on with things, and we'll catch up with you on Weekends with Walshy.
Great. Thanks, Pete. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. We'll catch you on Saturday morning around 7 a.m. We'll release Weekends with Walshy, and we'll see you again next week for the Territory Story Podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.